That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Friday. Hope everyone's having an amazing beginning to their Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. I know I am. I'm so fucking ready, bitch.
I'm so ready. I'm so happy that it's Friday. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for me. I'm happy for everyone listening. It's going to be a great day.
I'm really happy for our Australian toasters because it's Saturday.
Is it, or is it like late Friday?
The only time when it's not good to be an Australian toaster is Sunday.
Yeah, but what's worse, like a Sunday night or a Monday morning?
Monday morning.
I don't know. Sunday, I just like to rip the Band-Aid off. I don't like the anticipation.
No, I get that, but like at least Sunday night, like I'm not doing anything. I'm stressed, but I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. Also, like my Sunday nights have definitely been more relaxed recently.
Oh, Sunday night. Is that why?
Probably because I can hear that song coming down from the living room where Zach is watching Sunday Night Football.
Oh.
And I feel at ease. Plus, House of the Dragon is on. Honestly, Sunday nights are like fine recently.
So obviously we have a lot of different stories today. I'm assuming one of them is Pepsi halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
So TMZ just dropped an article that the Super Bowl LVII is hinting at Taylor Swift performing at halftime. They dropped a major hint, which was, I'll just send it to you so we can include it.
Yeah. We're going to talk about it.
It's in our chat.
Great.
That, I mean, I would simply pass away. Like, I mean, we all know. She's like the most obvious person who hasn't done it yet. And it's because of her contract with Diet Coke from 100 years ago. It's a Pepsi halftime show. She had like a non-exclusive, non-compete for many years. I do think it recently expired because it's been like a really long time since Homegirl was doing those Diet Coke commercials. But now Apple being the sponsor, no issues.
It's anyone's game.
Literally. Just kind of continuing the sports talk that's kind of been the thread throughout this week. I think it's important that we discuss something I found out, with that the San Diego Chargers that are not charging on my iPad, they're actually the Los Angeles Chargers now, which
that
makes no motherfucking sense.
It's not going to work for me. That's a problem because Los Angeles just got a team, the Rams, mm-hmm. and they're firing in all cylinders, winning Super Bowls. Like, you don't need another team when you just got one and it's working really well.
Yeah, and I don't have the same affinity for the Los Angeles Chargers because the Los Angeles Chargers didn't sign Manti Te'o. The San Diego Chargers that are not charging on my iPad did.
Yeah, and I just feel like I've never been to San Diego, but I feel like I would really like it. I've heard amazing things. And
you would.
I want to root for them. And I'm already like a semi-Rams fan because they won the Super Bowl.
San Diego is where Kris Jenner's from, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm pretty sure.
I think things were good as they were, and this is unnecessary. I personally will still call them the San Diego Chargers because they're not charging on my iPad because I got used to your iPad instead of mine.
I hope you're happy.
Because I've told mom. Yeah. But I'm happy if other people want to call them the LA Chargers. I won't correct you.
No, that would be rude. So today is Friday, which means yesterday, the new episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians season 2, season premiere, dropped. We both watched it. We're going to do a little TV recap. And I also finally, I watched in full the 5 episodes of Tell Me Lies. I'm actually really glad I didn't read the book because now I'm just like enjoying a new TV show without analyzing every fucking second of it.
100%. And apparently it's so different from the book that if you had read the book and you liked it, you wouldn't like the TV show. But it is an objectively good TV show.
I just feel like I've read books like Tell Me Lies and I just did not picture Steven to be like that. Like in the first episode when they're like, don't get back into it with Steven. Oh, Steven. So you're like flashbacks, like these sexy scenes of Steven. And then he shows up at the engagement party, like looking gross. And I'm like, this is Steven?
You're so focused on looks. It didn't even,
I'm so shallow.
It didn't even occur to me when I saw Steven that I was like looking for a hunky man and he wasn't hunky enough. The only commentary I have on Steven's looks is they obviously had to do something to make him different looking from 8 years ago versus now. And so they changed his hair. I think the hair makes him look younger and that the buzzed head makes him look older and that young Steven should have that hair and older Steven should be buzzed.
Okay, so maybe Jackie is unique or I'm unique, but was I the only one who was just like genuinely shocked that like that's what Steven looked like? Like not that I'm I am so shallow and he's super handsome, but he kind of looks like Buster from Arrested Development.
But like, who cares?
I don't know. I just thought, and first of all, this girl, oh my God, I never saw a girl so stunning in my whole life.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, she's giving Lily, everyone in the show looks like someone, ready?
Yeah.
Main girl, Lily James.
Agreed.
Main guy, depending on the light, Buster Bluth from Arrested Development or Liam Payne. He also looks like Liam Payne from One Direction. Diana, Meghan Markle. Oh my God, they literally have the same fucking voice.
Yes.
And wait, there was one more. Oh, Pippa is Jamila Jamil.
Yeah.
They look exactly like, and they both have the bangs. It's like everyone in the show is like a Z-list version of an actual celebrity. It's blowing my mind.
That is a very good point. Also, you know that the show is produced by Emma Roberts.
Of course. We stan a fellow book club
I'd love
queen.
To see her up there shaking that thing. But I guess, you know, you can't be in everything.
No, especially because the girl who's playing Lily.
Lucy.
Sure. She does not look like a college student. And like when she was like breaking up with her high school boyfriend in that first scene, I'm like, you're kidding me, right?
I thought the same too. But then once she's in college and they have her dress the way girls would dress in like 2007 in college and her hair is very simple, I want to say, I can believe it more. Like in the present scenes, 8 years forward, she does look like so current with like her beachy waves and like her vibe. But I can believe all of it. And you know who I think is like so cute?
Do you think girls in France are doing beachy waves?
You know who I think is so cute then and now?
Wait, let me think. Bray.
Yeah.
Obsessed to the nth degree with Bray. Like I know she gets a happy ending and I'm so fucking happy about it. She's so motherfucking cute. When she was dressing up as sexy vampire, I was like, oh my God, she's like actually like stunning.
Yeah.
She's such a good friend. Pippa is the fucking woke loseriest loser who ever walked the planet. And I'm just loving it. It kind of like does make me wish I went to college. Like I did go to college, but like
no,
I went
didn't,
to NYU. I didn't. I took classes like and I lived at home.
I feel bad it's that really, you didn't because
it's glamorizing the college experience, even though it's filled with like torturous like endeavors as well.
Yeah. And it's really hard to like go away to a new school and they made it seem so easy to make friends. Like it's not always that easy. It could take.
Yeah. And then you're just automatically hanging out with boys 2 years older than you. Like that never fucking happened.
No, never. And like that guy, what's his name? Who Pippa's dating?
Wrigley.
Like they're dating day one. Like never fucking happens.
Never.
Like this guy wants to take you to dinner. Never happens.
Lol. Lol.
But so much.
But I do feel like it's really accurate in depicting how fucking mean boys are to girls in college. Like they're so nasty.
Yeah.
Like I feel like so many people I know have like literally traumatizing interactions with boys in college. Like they're so fucking rude and like heartless.
It's so true.
Like are you not a human being with feelings? Like it's crazy.
No, and like when you're in college, you're on the precipice of adulthood, but like you're still a child in a lot of ways. And I think we've talked about this before, how like a college freshman is so young compared to a college senior.
Yeah,
it's like 4 extremely formative years, and the fact that like those people are mingling every single day. It's just the dynamics are so
odd
and everything is heightened and you're living in close quarters and you're all hot and it's just, and the hormones are raging. It's a lot.
It's bad. It's a recipe for disaster. And Lily, like, wait, what's
Lucy?
Her name?
Lucy?
I like Lily better. Oh, because her name is Lily Albright. No, her name is Lucy Albright, but it's giving Lily Aldridge. That's what I'm thinking. I really, really liked her. And then, like, as the show goes on in the most recent episode, I'm like, oh, this bitch is so wrong and so spoiled and so immature. Like, she's pissing me off.
Agreed. And I actually don't think that her and Steven are OTP at all. I don't ship. I don't think he's right for her. I don't think she's right for him. The fact that this goes on for 8 years makes me sad because him and Diana are meant to be. Diana is everything.
Diana, let me be the one to light a fire inside those eyes. She's totally the one for him. Like, he can be all that he can with her. When he called her and it's like maybe potentially gonna open up, when he called Lucy, it was like, oh, my mom. He's like, yeah, my mom's worse too. Like, your mom is fine. Like, and you know what? Your mom fucking your dad's best friend while your dad was dying is like not that big of a deal. Like, she was lonely too.
Yeah, and she's so nice to you. And she doesn't even know that you're mad at her and you're just like mean to her.
Okay, also, Max. Okay, like, so Max is the guy in the first scene that she lives with, right?
No. In the first scene? Oh.
Like, in the future.
Oh, I thought, I had that thought in the fifth episode. I was
they
like,
they keep saying Max.
Okay, then yeah.
It is.
Wow.
So, like, she meets two guys 8 years ago, and 8 years later, they're both still in her life. Like, that's just unrealistic.
No, and it's just stunted.
No, and also, like, Max is fucking creepy. She's literally 17, freshman, and she's definitely, like, mature looking, but she's immature acting. But, like, you're gonna date for 8 years, like, a child you met when she was in college, and, like, you and your family were running this bar?
That is true.
It's fucking creepy.
It is.
And he's like, oh my God, you're so immature. No shit, she's a teenager.
Right, but, like, she is immature, and...
She gives off the vibe that she's like not like other girls her age. She's so mature. And then you actually like talk to her and she's really fucking like whiny and immature.
Yeah. And she's not the one for Steven and Steven's not the one for her.
No.
Steven like needs a woman later, like Diana's a woman.
Yeah.
Lucy's a girl.
I was not into Diana, but then I was like, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the scene that like really got to me, and like this is what like boys in college do to girls. It's so sad. Like the gaslighting. Like she goes in and she's like, he brought condoms to the city, so like he's literally inviting me out here, but he could be fucking someone after I leave.
Right.
And the way he spins it like to be about money, I'm like, you're so fucking manipulative. Yep. Like it's literal like mental illness. Like being so fucking manipulative.
Yeah. No, he's not
the worst.
A good guy, but he obviously has his own demons.
No, of course. Oh my God, that's that. I feel like they're gonna give us one episode about break. I hope they go back to college next episode because it's so fucking depressing. His mom is fucking evil, yeah. Like literally fucking evil. It was reminding me of Jeanette McCurdy's mom, like abusive, but not anything you can see. Like she's not physical. She's not even really verbal. She's fucking manipulative.
Yeah, like and narcissistic.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's literally. It was almost carbon copy of what Jeanette was explaining in her book.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you watched.
And who's that actress? That's not Allison Janney, is it?
No, it's Allison Fanny.
It's Allison Fanny.
Are you glad you watched?
She's great. Oh, fuck yeah. It's so good. And I'm glad I didn't read the book, honestly. Like,
right.
I'm not feeling like I'm missing anything. Even with Luckiest Girl Alive, like I was so critical because I'm like, I know, I feel so personally invested in the book. And I'm like, well, it should have been this. Like, it's not an enjoyable way to like watch a TV show
it's
or a movie.
It's really not.
It's stressful.
It's stressful.
Like, yeah, so I'm glad you were totally right.
Great.
We'll do the Kardashians recap and our official TV recap after we get through the Fast Five. Is that okay with you?
Yes, let's jump right in because we've got much to discuss in the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you, try not to get emotional, Jackie, it's brought to you by Babbel.
My fave.
If you're like me, there's a foreign language that you regret not learning in school. It's never too late to start with Babbel. Babbel is the language learning app that's sold more than 10 million subscriptions thanks to their addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons. You can finally cross learning that new language off your list. So for whatever reason, you might want to be learning a new language, just to like broaden your horizons. If you're taking a trip and you kind of want to know like the basics of the language that of the country that you're traveling to, Babbel is a really great resource. It's super accessible, super easy to get, and it's effective. Like, learning a language is low-key, like, one of the hardest things to do as an adult. Like, the fact that we used to do it in high school is so crazy. Mm-hmm. With Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson, so you can start having real-life conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, not computers. So you can choose from 14 different languages with Babbel, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, all the classics. If you're traveling this winter... You know, it's not great to go to a country where you don't even know, like, the basics, like right, left, up, down, you know? Check out Babbel. It's a great thing to do in preparation for a trip that you're planning. You can start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. And right now you can get up to 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/TMT. That's BABBEL.com/TMT for up to 55% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life. Today's episode is also brought to you by the Clinique Even Better Clinical Dark Spot Interrupter. If you have dark spots, it can often feel like a vicious cycle. As soon as one fades, another pops up. We'll break the cycle with the Clinique Even Better Clinical Dark Spot Interrupter. This powerful serum works on melanin-rich to fair skin, and it helps visibly correct dark spots, such as acne marks, while protecting from future discoloration. So 94% of people demonstrated an improvement in radiance and visible skin tone, including acne marks, in just 8 weeks. You can see a 39% visible reduction in dark spots in just 12 weeks. So their damage eraser with the CL302 Brightening Complex is now more concentrated with boosted technology to deliver dramatic brightening results, but it's still gentle enough for all skin types. So if you have dark spots, you know they're literally like your cross to bear. They're so difficult to get rid of. And once you do successfully get rid of one, what's to stop another one from popping up? I'm coming off the summer, which is when I get a lot of dark spots. So I've been like really keeping on my routine with this serum from Clinique. It's oil-free, it's non-acnegenic, it's fast-absorbing, and it is dermatologist-developed. In just 2.5 hours, it'll help quell redness from irritation that can trigger new visible spots and worsen existing spots. So get the Even Better Clinical Dark Spot Interrupter today. It's available at Clinique.com. You know, that ad just reminded me that last night, Jackie and I posted a new episode up on our Patreon, our third episode for the month of September, where we both did our nighttime skincare routines. We get a lot of skincare requests, and we do like one every 2 years because it's always changing. And do you know what I found out? Did you watch my part?
I did. I was fucking cracking up.
Okay, so I was using this like really, really, I think it was from,
Clarins.
I think it was. Oh, okay. So I was using this really rich Clarins moisturizer, and I was talking in the vlog about how like it's literally like the most rich cream I've ever used. Like, it actually leaves a white cast on my face. And it's like so hydrating. And the consistency, it actually is the same exact consistency as Marshmallow Fluff. So I was just going on and on about like this new product. They sent me in the mail for like PR and I was like so excited. Somebody leaves a comment. Ready? And it made total and complete sense. The whole thing is in French. So I wasn't like, when I got it, I wasn't like reading all the directions, but it said, Claudia, I hate to break it to you, but your Clarins moisturizer is actually a mask, a depuffing mask. It explains why you're looking so snatched. I use it every morning to give me my jawline back. Oh. I've been using a face mask as moisturizer. I don't know what's with me. Like, that's the second time something like that has happened to me. Everyone knows the time I put a hair mask on my face and literally broke out in hives. I don't know why I'm incapable of reading things.
Okay, but the good news is it's depuffing.
Oh, totally. And it actually sounds like a really good concept for a mask. Yeah. And now I'm going to use it like as it should be used.
Yeah, I think I've been influenced.
Totally. So as you guys know, $7.99 every month will get you access to our Patreon channel. 5 extra episodes a month. We do vlogs and podcasts. Sometimes we do podcast vlogs. So patreon.com/morningtoast, $8, $7.99. It's never gone up with inflation, even though it should. $7.99, 5 extra episodes. Support your favorite girlies, get great content, join the community of amazing other Patreon members, join the Facebook group. There's really no reason not to.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Okay, are you ready for our first story? We'll just jump right in because the NFL has introduced the Apple Music Super Bowl halftime show. The NFL today announced Apple Music as the new partner for the Super Bowl halftime show. The multi-year partnership brings together the Super Bowl halftime show, the most watched musical performance of the year, with Apple Music, which celebrates musicians, songwriters, producers, and fans, and offers the world's best music listening experience with a catalog of
wrong.
Blah, blah, blah. What?
Okay, wrong. They don't offer the best listening experience. No. I would say Spotify does.
100%.
Let me say a few things. I think that it's really shocking. Well, it's not shocking. The sponsorship for this segment is like hundreds of millions of dollars. And I just want to say, like, this is really our halftime show because we are all responsible for Apple being able to afford this because we've had to buy new chargers every 6 months and new AirPods. So first of all, Apple, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I feel like when we predicted, we reported a couple, maybe a year ago, that the licensing agreement with Pepsi was up soon and they probably weren't going to renegotiate it. And it cost, I think, maybe around like $500 million. And we were saying there are only so many companies that can afford that. And we had guessed that it was going to be the Meta or maybe even the Uber.
Or the crypto. I feel like,
yeah, we weren't that far off.
Uber doesn't have money somehow, even though they take all of mine. They're
always operating at a loss.
It's the most shocking thing.
Yeah, they've been like operating at a loss since inception, but they're like a $1 billion company. And that's the shit I don't understand about like startup culture, venture capital culture. Like, how can you be losing $100 million a year and be valued at over $1 billion?
No, how can you be losing money every year when everybody I know spends half their paycheck on Uber?
No, and it's like you don't actually have any employees, Uber. Like, you don't even pay your drivers.
Right.
It's fucked up.
No, it's financially irresponsible, honestly.
Right. Like, get on Upside. You know, like, use one of our sponsors. Like, get your shit together.
So.
Do you want to also report the second story that I had sent you? Yes,
that in this announcement, it seems as though NFL has dropped a major hint that Taylor Swift is performing at halftime. In its announcement, the league made no mention of a potential halftime performer for Super Bowl LVII, but according to Swift fans, it didn't need to because the timing of the release said it all. The league curiously dropped the news at midnight, something that's been associated with Swift for years. She put out albums twice since 2020 that were released at that time. Okay, every single
Everyone does.
Album is released at midnight.
Everyone does.
And she sung the word midnight hundreds of times in her tracks.
Okay.
TMZ, Swifties, this is making me sad.
No, honestly, I don't know who I'm more embarrassed for, TMZ or the Swifties, because the Swifties are capable of critical thinking, and this is just so... it's like... Well, the commissioner was breathing while he was delivering this announcement, and Taylor Swift breathes. Therefore, heretofore, she... But by the way, I think the possibility that she is the first Apple person is extremely likely. She's worked with Apple before. She's been the face of Apple. She's really one of the most famous people in the world who's never done it. So there's a million reasons why it probably is her, but them using the word midnight is not.
I don't think they've decided yet. I think this announcement has nothing to do with who the first performer is.
I'm sure they have a couple people in mind that they're talking to. But
I don't think that the decision has been made at all. So
can I say something kind of crazy?
Sure.
Like, I don't want Taylor to perform at the Super Bowl. Like, because when you perform at the Super Bowl, you're performing for all of America. You're not performing for the Swifties. So we're going to get I Knew You Were Trouble, 22, Love Story, Blank Space. Like, no thanks. Like, unless she's going to sit down and perform like All Too Well 10-minute version and Peace from Folklore. Like, I'm not interested, honestly. Like, the songs that people love that like are hits, I've been done with for years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I don't need to hear I Knew You Were Trouble ever again.
Right. Is there a world in which she sits down and does like the vault tracks from Fearless? No, like, and that's what we want. Is she going to do better, man? No.
I feel like we could, and she could, put together a set that's a blend of her hits and the best songs. You know, like, I don't mind Style and Blank Space. I think those are really still good songs, no matter how many times I've heard them.
I didn't say Style, so.
Okay. I don't mind Blank Space. I can't hear I Knew You Were Trouble. I can't hear 22.
22. Shake It Off. Oh my God. I can't. I literally can't. And like, I love Taylor. I would literally lay my life out on the line for Taylor. But like, the songs that really popped off, and they were manufactured to do that. Like, she's a pop music genius. Like, she knows what's going to get. Like, I just can't. Blank Space is like the best of the worst.
Yeah. And I hope she also gives the real fans something, like, you know.
But that's the thing. The Super Bowl halftime show is not for the real fans.
No, but good music is good music.
Yeah.
She doesn't expect everyone in America to know every single song she's about to play. So let's play the good ones.
Yeah. Like, I literally can't. Like obviously, I want her to do it. But, like, if she doesn't, I'll be totally fine.
Yeah. Me too.
I'd like to exist in Swiftie spaces. We're like, we don't have to sing Love Story. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Love Story holds. I'm fine with Love Story.
It does.
I love You Belong With Me. It's like top three of my favorite songs.
You Belong With Me is a timeless track.
A timeless track.
Margot's Vagine. Margot's Vagine.
Standing by.
OG Toasters will understand that.
Ugh. That song is like literally one of my favorite songs. It's up there with The Climb. Like it's favorite songs
I
of all time.
I completely agree. When we were in camp, you were a counselor. And part of one of the things we did in camp is in the middle of the summer, every age division would write like a song and a cheer. So like the song was like a slow alma mater, usually to a Rascal Flatts song, just about how we live 10 months for two. And then the cheer was like an upbeat, like Katy Perry vibe. And you had the youngest girls on camp and you had them sing an original song to the tune of You Belong With Me. Can I get a verse?
I think I could get the chorus.
Okay. It was so good. Like, people were sobbing at camp.
And when it's like the little girl singing, like,
oh, no, and they sounded like a little angels. Angelic choir. Yeah, cherubic.
Okay, and they're called the Majorettes. That's the group.
Yeah, like the youngest girls at camp. It was like Majorettes, Debs, Teen A, Teen B. Okay.
Okay. And the camp was called Pocono Trail CPT. You need to know these things.
Yeah.
We're the Majorettes, the youngest girls on camp, but that won't stop us because we are the champs, you see,
at CPT. At CPT. It's actually like a low register for those young girlies.
Some of the more developed ones.
They were your baritones in the back. Also, I just think it's worth mentioning, like, Jackie was, like, kind of famous at camp. This should come as a surprise to nobody because, like, you're really good with words. She was, like, known at camp for writing the best song and cheer. And so you would do a song and cheer in the middle of the summer with your age group. And then at the end of the summer for Color War, each team had a song and a cheer. And, like, there are songs. Like, I bet if we were to go back to our camp now, there's not one single person who is at camp who was at camp when you and I did Gold Galaxy. I was like voted general my last year as a camper as a super senior because like they really always gave it to like the most charismatic and annoying basically campers. So it was me and who was the other girl? Who was my Missy? Sorry, Missy, she lost. Good girl though, good kid. So we had to write a song and a cheer and obviously I was the general and then counselors were chosen as like advisors. It was like a prestige. It was like an honor to be chosen. Jackie was, of course, selected as my advisor. It was nepotism at its finest.
I was a good fucking counselor. And as stated, I write the best songs. So I should be an advisor. Why would I work so hard?
I was the nepotism. Like I was the benefactor of the nepotism.
No, you earned it. You were a good camper.
I was the most annoying camper. I was the most annoying camper. Like that's what you get when you're the most annoying camper. So Jackie wrote two of the most beautiful, and like everyone would choose obvious, like, you know, like I think our competitors, they choose Year 3000 by Jonas Brothers. Like that's so obvious, you know?
Well, it's hard because you want to choose a song that everyone already knows. That way
you have to teach 300 kids a song.
Right. So they don't have to learn a new tune, but sometimes there's a great song that you should teach them. It will be better.
So Jackie selected for our cheer, If I Had You by Adam Lambert, which I didn't even know. We all learned it so hard. And okay, so we were the Gold Galaxy and it was Gold Galaxy versus
Blue Atlantis.
So like they were all about underwater. We were all about like outer space. So I'm going to sing. Actually, you want to sing Gold Galaxy?
You do as much as you know me and I'll fill in if
I know. I literally know the whole fucking thing. Ready?
Oh, go. I don't know the whole
thing. So we put our spacesuits on, ride through the galaxy, but all that we can see is a gold team victory. We can make it to the moon. We can land our ship on Mars. Gold is fueled by the power of the stars. From the Milky Way, where we are today, to Andromeda, which is far away. We've got shooting stars. We've got planet Mars. We're in good company. Gold Galaxy. We're the team Atlantis thinks they're gonna beat. Gold Galaxy. The constellations tell us that we will defeat. Gold Galaxy. We will crush our underwater enemies. Gold Galaxy, good galaxy, good galaxy, good galaxy, Gold Galaxy. Like, tell me a bitch who could write Constellation and Andromedon into a fucking original song. Nobody. Boom. Chills. Mic drop. No, you want to talk about chills? Let's talk about the original song you wrote for our song. Jackie then selected the most obscure Lady Antebellum song called I Was Here.
I Was Here.
Nobody had heard of it. It wasn't really like the lyrics were so beautiful, but the kids couldn't sing that high. So Jackie like fully had it rearranged. Like she composed a new song and it sounds vaguely familiar to I Was Here by Lady Antebellum. But like when I tell you there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
No.
How does that song go again?
The gold galaxy. But I want to hit the chorus. We believe in
like initials carved in an old oak tree. You wait and see.
That's
I don't
Lady
remember.
A.
That's Lady A. Oh. I've listened to Lady A so many times.
Chorus. Bound together through this fight. Standing here, we now unite.
Just like
the stars. In the sky, we will shine from... What's
within,
next?
Cause it's our time to win. Tonight, gold will light up the sky. And come winter time, we'll think of the memories that never died. When we look back on this night and recreate the hype of Pocono trails, we'll tilt up our heads and reflect the stars in the sky that symbolize galaxy. Doo-doo. And we had a live piano player, Rachel Wenner.
Rachel Wenner on the keys.
It was so literally stunning and emotional. And obviously we won that night. Like how could you not? No, like Missy, you're a queen, but like me and Seth and Jackie, like it wasn't
they
even
never stood a chance.
No, and like I know everyone feels that way about like their color war, but when I tell you like people still talk about it. I'm telling you, they still talk about it.
No, and the way that I feel is, like, I don't know the person who wrote those words. Like, they're so gorgeous. They're so moving. Like, you also couldn't get a better theme than Gold Galaxy.
It was almost unfair.
But it's like, also what you make it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I just want to say, like, I became, like, really, like, a camp, like, legend after that. And it was really on your coattails. Like, it was your songs.
Happy to help. Happy to help. Also, in the cheer, we reference your name. So, like, everyone was singing about Claudia.
Oh, yeah. Claudia and Seth were bound to be the best. It was so fucking good, you guys. Like, I don't know. Is it, like, annoying to hear about other people's camp experiences? Like, is that, like, hearing about someone else's dreams?
I feel like if you didn't go to camp, it's interesting. Because it's, like, what? They're writing original songs. These are kids. You're teaching it to 8-year-old majorettes. And they're all singing. That's so beautiful. I feel like if you did go to camp, you're like, no, my color war song and cheer was the best. And they're, like, wanting to share with us theirs. But we don't want to hear it.
No, we literally don't care. We literally don't care, like, at all. We also had color war in school, which was always really fun because, like, you didn't have to go to class.
Yeah, that was really fun. So,
and I was selected as a general my freshman year. I like have such annoying color war energy. Like, you know when you meet someone and you're like, oh, she would have been selected as a general at camp, you know?
Yes, but that's why you were selected.
Yeah, it's like annoying. It's supposed to be well liked, but I wasn't really well liked.
It's like
in high
leadership
school.
Skills.
Yeah,
loud, you know, outgoing, someone who's going to lead the troops to victory.
That's us. Yeah. Honestly, Manti Te'o would have been a color war general.
100%. I think Gold Galaxy should perform at the Super Bowl.
100%.
Or Adam Lambert with the remaining members of Queen.
Actually, that's a good idea.
I would love that. And
he was incredible at the Jubilee.
It should be a tribute to the Queen because some of us are still in mourning.
The toast, like, really has healing powers. Like, when I sat down here, I swear to God, I was going to go to the hospital after this. Like, I thought my appendix burst. I was in the worst pain. I couldn't even walk here. I had to take a car. Like, I was not okay. And now I feel fine.
It's the power of Gold Galaxy.
Gold Galaxy.
No, it's so funny. Before we started, Claudia was like, I'm not feeling well. Like, just so you know. And now we're singing old color war tunes.
And that's the power of Gold Galaxy.
It really is.
We will crush our under... Okay, so back to Taylor Swift. I would obviously support it, but like it's one of those things, like, if it doesn't happen, I'll like secretly be happy in my room, you know?
Yeah. I would love to see, I'm still rooting for Pitbull. I think that he should have done it when it was in Miami. Mm-hmm. He's literally Mr. 305. That was fucking rude.
Disgusting.
He has so many hits. He's such a performer. I love him. I always wanted to be Pitbull and maybe Pink as well. A fusion. It's the P's.
By the way, Pink.
She'll be suspended from the stadium doing acrobatics.
Right. Like how Lady Gaga, how Lady Gaga pretended to jump off the roof of the stadium. Like, Pink will do it.
Right.
Strap her in.
So that's who I want. I don't think that's who we're going to get, but that's who I want.
I don't feel like Pink is like a crazy choice. Like, I think it's actually, she's very, like, has mass appeal. She has so many hit songs, probably just as many as Taylor Swift,
mm-hmm.
in terms of like middle America recognizability.
Yep.
I think she's a great choice.
And I still would like Adam Lambert and the remaining members of Queen. I think we should do like a little halftime jubilee in honor of the Platinum Jubilee.
Love, love, love.
And Sigala and Ella Eyre can finish us out with Love. Here for Love.
Love.
It's crazy how now that song reminds me of the Queen, and it's like, has she ever heard it?
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah. Take me back to the Platinum Jubilee.
100%.
Those were the days. Okay, our next story, we have to move on. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ellen DeGeneres' protege, Grayson Chance, is ripping the manipulative comedian. In a bombshell Rolling Stone interview published on Thursday, the Oklahoma native Grayson Chance, who's now 25, reflected on his life and career after a viral video of him performing Lady Gaga's Paparazzi in front of his schoolmates landed him on Ellen's now defunct talk show in May 2010 when he was just 12 years old. He said,
not the now defunct.
He said, quote, "We just couldn't believe what was happening. We were so unsure of what we were getting into. And the person that helped cure all of that skepticism and chaotic energy was Ellen. When the two first met, the musician claimed Ellen said to him, 'I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be here for you. We're going to do this together.' Soon after, she co-created 1111, a record label that was distributed by Interscope, Geffen, A&M Records. And she signed Grayson as her first act. She also hooked him up with high-profile managers, a booking agent, a publicist, and a brand agent. In October 2010, Grayson released a mini EP. As his touring schedule became more demanding, he claimed that Ellen became domineering and way too controlling. 'My whole week, my whole month, my whole year could change with one text message from her. That was horrible.' He added that he quickly learned that Ellen's opinions were the only ones that mattered. A source close to Ellen denies Grayson's recollection of the relationship, however, and said the comedian went above and beyond for the young musician, noting that sometimes careers just don't take off.
Ooh. Okay, the thing is, I was like looking at this because I saw the guy made a TikTok about it. Who is he? Like, I don't know what video they're referencing.
I don't remember the video, but I remember him, Grayson Chance, 12 years old, you know, voice of an angel, Ellen.
I don't remember
any
of it.
And that's where the story ends for me, and it makes you wonder why.
I don't remember literally any of it, so I'm feeling like disconnected from the story. But I just think, like, if anyone is shocked by this, you shouldn't be. Like, watch her interview Mason Ramsey, and you'll know that she fucking hates kids.
Yeah, but she makes them her whole personality. It's
no, she
so
was
weird.
The kid girl. Like, the corn kid would have had his own show on Ellen right now.
Can you explain the corn kid to me?
Yes. You will love him. Like, I cannot believe you haven't investigated.
I've seen some clips that are not the original, and I'm like, who's this corn-loving hero?
It's like, the original is like a random interview. I don't know if it's with, I don't think it's local news. I think it's like a guy with a, you know, a YouTube channel. He met this kid who was eating corn at like a fair, and he was just saying like, I fucking love corn. Like, what's not to love? It's a big lump with knobs. It has the juice. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing. That's literally what he said about corn. It's so pure, and he's so cute. He just fucking loves corn, you know? So then the video went viral and somebody made like a song out of like his interview lyrics. A big lump with knobs, it has the juice.
It has the juice.
I can't imagine a more beautiful thing. It's corn. A big, like, it's so cute. And he just, obviously everyone Ellen'd him. And he's adorable. And so every interview he does, there's like more moments. Like, he's a star. I'm so happy for him.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm glad Ellen isn't around to ruin it.
Yeah, so regarding Grayson Chance, I would love to hear from Noah Ritter and Mason Ramsey hear what their experience was.
I think when you get in that position, it's like such a tough spot to be in because your life does change. Like Ellen, like she does, you know, put you on the show and hook you up with publicists and he had an EP. And so you feel very indebted to her, which is why she acts like, by the way, what kind of fucking freak billionaire 60-year-old woman is like out here abusing random children and like manipulating them? Like, get a fucking life. Like, get a friend your own age.
Yeah.
Pick on someone your own size. But like the kid thing was like almost like a little weird. Like, why
especially
are you so obsessed?
Especially if they don't feel like they were actually supported and helped. Like, if you want to do that and you want to usher kids who are having viral fame and show them the way and actually help them get to where they're going, I think that's amazing.
Sweet.
That's really amazing. But if you're becoming the kid person, you're actually not helping them. They're finding you to be manipulative, controlling, and they're like scared of you. And you control all of the aspects of their fame. That's twisted.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
I just like, I tried to give Ellen like a fair chance, and I regret that. Like, she's literally the worst.
Yeah.
And like, she needs to just stop, like, for real.
I think she's been stopping. This is old things that happen, but it definitely opens up this can of worms about, like, what about the kids? Like, Ellen has gotten a lot of, you know, backlash and media attention for her treatment of her guests and her staff.
Who are adults.
But no one, like, during that time was like, okay, so she was this rude to these people, yet she was, like, mother hen to so many up-and-coming children. Like, are the kids okay?
That's actually a really good point. Like, we never heard about the details of the children. I think she didn't give, like, give a shit, honestly. Like, I don't think she gave them any of her time.
Okay, well, that's better than being, like, emotionally manipulative. Like, if she was just, like, using them for her show, like, that's bad, but I hope that was the worst of it. You know,
yeah,
just talking to them on camera and then that's over and it's it.
Right, but then they go get to be on Ellen, and Noah Ritter became the face of, like, you know, Ellen dog tube. Food, Purina. Like, he killed it.
Yeah, but where is he now?
I don't know.
I love him.
I would lay my life out on the line for him instantaneously.
So would I.
I know you would.
Are you ready for our next story?
By the way, he's literally Harry.
No, there he could be. It's who knows who Harry will be, but it's very possible.
Or like what he will look like, but he could be like fair skin, red hair,
and like using Noah really Ritter. Big words out of context.
100%, 100%.
If I'm his apparently. Mom, you know he will be.
Yeah,
100%. I'll be like, Mom, this meal's nefarious.
Yeah, but it probably is a nefarious meal. Let's be real.
Never, me never.
Yeah.
No, my kids' cooking skills have really taken off.
I'm happy for you.
Are you ready for our next story?
Is it the next story that's brought to you by Land's End?
It is.
Don't just slap your logo on any old uniform. Create an extension of your brand that's ready for anything with custom apparel from Land's End Business. Get fully customized clothes, accessories, promotional products featuring your logo and colors elevated by decades of experience. And with the best-in-class customer care, let Land's End handle the inventory while you run your business. So it's quality, comfort, and style that you can count on from Land's End. Since 1993, the year before I was born because I'm so young, thousands of businesses have relied on Land's End Business to outfit their employees. They offer timeless styles that fit every body types with the widest range of sizes that you'll find in branded apparel. You could see your logo in vivid colors on t-shirts, outerwear, hats, mugs, water bottles, and more. They have hundreds of products perfect for any trade show, any event, or any holiday gift. See why thousands of companies count on Land's End Business. Go to business.landsend.com/toast. Use the promo code toast for 25% off. That's business.landsend.com/toast. Promo code toast for 25% off.
Thank you so much. Our next story is extremely crazy. Diary of a Wimpy Kid and Riverdale actor Ryan Grantham has been sentenced to life for killing his mother.
Yeah, I saw this.
Actor Ryan Grantham was sentenced to life in prison for the shooting death of his mother. Grantham, who is known for his role in Diary of a Wimpy Kid and appearance in Riverdale, pled guilty to second-degree murder in March 2020 for killing his mother, Barbara Waite. The 24-year-old was handed a life sentence in British Columbia Supreme Court in Vancouver on Wednesday. He will not be eligible for parole for 14 years.
Okay, not to be, like, so insensitive, but, like, Lord Grantham.
Lord Grantham would never...
Lord Grantham would never. Oh, Robert. My friend Abe does the best Cora Grantham impersonation. Oh, Robert. It's good. I'm sorry. Back to this. Okay, this is so fucking wild. Like, who the fuck kills their mom?
Right.
Like,
and the fact that he was on Riverdale. Psychotic. I didn't watch Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I don't know if he had a large or small role.
No, me neither.
But this picture of him from Riverdale that's circulating, like, he's so familiar looking.
Oh, yeah.
He played a small role of Rodney James, one of the students in the class. That was in a different movie. He played the character in Riverdale who was responsible for the death of Fred Andrews. He hits Fred with his father's truck when Fred was helping a stranded woman. That was because Luke Perry had passed away, and so they killed off his character.
Oh, got it. This is fucking crazy. Like, what? And I just don't understand how it's, like, life in prison, parole in 14 years. Like, what?
Yeah, that's confusing.
That shit never makes sense to me. And that is in Canada, so it's not, like, American law, but I feel like that shit happens too. Like, life in prison, and then they're out in 15 years. Like, a life sentence, I think, is only 25 years. So, like, don't call it life, bro.
Damn.
Don't call it life.
Don't call it.
No, seriously, don't call it life, bro. Don't call it life.
Anyways, that was really just shocking news for everyone.
No, people are not okay. No. Like, don't go killing your mom, okay? Don't do it.
Don't.
You're not going to be happy with the results. I guarantee it. I guarantee.
Are you ready for our next story? Mm-hmm. Jeff Garland has revealed his bipolar disorder diagnosis. The 60-year-old actor shared his diagnosis for the first time in a candid yet brief Instagram post on Tuesday. He wrote, "Bipolar is a motherfucker. Sometimes it's just too much to deal with. I'm doing the best I can. This is the first time that I've opened up about this. Hashtag bipolar." The post came only one day before this.
Not the hashtag.
It's Jeff Garland on Instagram. Like, what do you expect?
No, I know. He's literally 65 years old. I get it.
Came one day before the premiere of season 10 of The Goldbergs, in which it was revealed that his character, spoiler alert, had been killed off. Last year, the star...
Oh, wait, what? They kill him?
Yeah, because remember last year he shared that although he
had... Yeah, no, I know.
There were allegations of inappropriate language on set. He was the subject of some HR investigations, and they got rid of him.
No, that I remember. I didn't know that their way of getting rid of him was just killing him off. I guess that makes sense. And I hate to, like, you know, say it sounds like Jeff Garland is using, like, mental health as an excuse and, like, a PR image thing. But it does feel like Jeff Garland is using mental health as an excuse for, like, a PR thing.
But you don't think that he's not bipolar?
I don't know. I just think, like, it's very manipulative and, like, calculating to... be famous for 60 years and
get in some trouble and then
tell everyone you're bipolar, like right after you get in trouble before your final season premieres. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like fucked up to say. Like, no, I hear you. It kind of
reminds me of like Kevin Spacey when he was getting called out for all that stuff. Yeah. And he was like, I'm gay.
So we don't care. First of all. And second of all, leave the gays alone.
Yeah.
Literally leave the gays alone. That's so fucking true.
No, but the thing about Jeff Garland, like his bipolar diagnosis aside, I feel like when we reported on these stories initially, it was like, that's Jeff Garland. Like,
I didn't think it needed a saving.
That they were describing were not concrete enough. It was kind of vague. It was like inappropriate language. I think the way I interpret it is like he's mean and harsh on set, but like he's a 60-year-old man. Like, he doesn't play by these new rules.
Right. Like, did he call someone a bitch or did he use a slur? Like, what is it?
Yeah, no.
It was very vague.
And so I feel like I feel like his career might, aside from losing the Goldbergs, like he's still on Curb and I think he's so well respected. I don't think his career would have changed that much from these vague allegations. No. So I do feel like it's this bipolar thing is separate.
Yeah. I mean, he also was the dad in Sleepover. So he... really never had to work again.
No, because when you do a role like that, you can just like live off of the pride.
Right. And when your daughter is Julie Corky, I think that there's really only one way to go and it's down. And that's what happened to Jeff Garland.
But then you wind up on Curb and you're back up.
Yeah. No, actually, I feel like Jeff Garland's career could be like a case study for just like the highs and lows of Hollywood.
It's a lot of highs.
I think he would consider Sleepover to be like a particularly low point in his career.
We'll have to get him on the show and talk to him about it.
I would love to know, like, in his IMDb discography, like, how he sees Sleepover. When he was making it, it was probably, like, some, you know, low-budget thing to do in between projects. And he didn't know it would become, like, a staple of a generation.
I just think, actually, Sleepover is one of those movies. There are other movies where if you do or show or movie, it's, like, cursed. And then there are movies where it's, like, everyone, him, Jane Lynch,
Evan Peters.
Stars. Yeah. Steve Carell. Like, it was kind of star-studded. And it's, like, that's where stars went. And they put in their time.
What was that girl's name from Aquamarine?
Sarah Paxton. Like, I know she didn't go as far as she should have.
I don't care. I would lay my life out on the line for her as well.
But she's a queen. And then we have Julie Corky, who's a Hallmark star.
The way I would have given anything as a child to have had those starfish earrings that she had in Aquamarine that used to whisper compliments in her ear. Need.
Also, the only one who I guess didn't get the sprinkle was Yancey, but I feel like Yancey opted out of the spotlight.
I think she took a step back after seeing like how truly toxic Hollywood was, and she's much better off for it. Like, she preserved her peace. Yeah.
Isn't Brie Larson in the movie too?
Yes.
No, I'm telling you.
She's the bitchy friend with the convertible.
I'm telling you, like, there was...
Oh, but also, that guy never went anywhere either. Julie Corky, like, the one who was in love with her on our grade school bus.
Yeah.
The love interest.
Okay, that's on him, though, because he was handsome, he had a leading role, and, like, you didn't make anything
of it.
He had
a cute little freckle above his lip, like, why?
That's on him. Everyone else, this movie is where stars were born, and if I'm them, like, I'm... looking back fondly on the time I spent with these mega stars, like Steve Carell, Brie Larson, Jeff Garland, Jane Lynch, and Evan Peters are mega stars.
Mega. Yeah, no, like really well-respected actors. We need a reunion.
We do. Like Julie Corky's kids are having a sleepover. The grandparents have to come and watch them.
And Julie and her friends go out, but then they accidentally run into the kids who have gone out also.
The movie writes itself.
And there has to be a pergola somewhere.
And oh, a little hybrid car.
Yeah. Well, I guess like in this modern version, like it would be a Tesla.
It would be. And I don't want it if Yancey and Speaker Boy are not in it. And they got married. Right. They have kids.
Oh, yeah. And their kids are eating brownies, not celery. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Would you rather have brownie or a celery? I like how that was a pickup line for Yancey. The movie was low-key, like, fucking fat-phobic. Like, there's one fat character and, like, a guy likes her because they're talking about brownies. Like, fat people can talk about other things.
Sure, but in that moment, they were talking about brownies. I'm not going to have you slander this movie.
I'm not slandering it, but, like, it was fucking fat-phobic. Justice for Yancey.
I don't think it was.
No, it's like Yancey wasn't capable of connecting with another human being over anything that wasn't food. And it was like, nobody. The guy to Yancey, Joanna Brown.
I think that, I don't think it was fat phobic. I think everyone could connect over brownies.
Yeah, but you didn't see Julie Corky and Sarah Paxton connecting over brownies. No, they were with boys. Like,
it's a coincidence.
Okay, not you covering up the fat phobia of Hollywood.
No, not Hollywood. Sleepover. I will cover up.
Yeah. I could look past it.
Yeah.
So in order, like, for things in your life to preserve well and age well in your mind, you have to look past some of their intricacies,
it's
you know?
It's fine. Like, it's not that deep.
Yeah.
And that's what's beautiful about movie. Sleepover. It's not that deep. It was one night.
It was one night of crazy wild
fun. One night we'll never forget.
One night.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Yes.
Olivia Wilde fangirled over Harry Styles at his final show at MSG. So Olivia Wilde is still Harry's number one fan. I think a lot of people were dubious about whether or not they were still together. Yeah, definitely hoping.
A lot of people were hoping and praying.
Thinking that maybe the drama had changed things or their relationship had just run its course, but it hasn't. She was at MSG cheering him on for his last show at Madison Square Garden, where he was presented with a banner for performing 15 consecutive nights at the iconic venue.
I'm happy that, like, this run is over because I do think Harry's really tired, but he does still have the Policeman. He has, like, a whole other tour. Like, I think he's going to Australia. Like, he is not okay.
Yeah, he needs a rest. And
even in the footage I saw from the show on Wednesday night, which I was about to go to but didn't, he looked so tired.
Yeah. No, he's fucking tired.
And, like, skinny. And, like, he's lost weight. Like, he doesn't look, like, good and strong.
He needs a rest. And I feel like every time a major star is going on tour, it's always cut short for either mental health concerns,
exhaustion,
or physical health concerns. And it's like, why are you guys acting surprised?
Why did we get to this
when
place?
You treat
why did we let
like
it get
it
this
reminds
bad?
Me of Elvis. You're right. You said that.
Yeah. Margo said it and she put it in my brain. I'm like, oh my God, Harry's literally Elvis.
Literally. And it's like, when
probably
will
getting
you learn?
Probably cortisone shots and steroid shots in his
when
ass.
When will people learn?
Never. Hollywood
and
is literally.
I'm not like, I don't want to accuse anyone of anything, but I don't think that a human being can do 15 shows like that, press tour, all this without any help and a little, whatever it is, a B12 shot, whatever they're giving Elvis.
Alcohol, maybe.
Whatever. There are things that help people have energy and that's problematic.
Yeah.
And that's not a recipe for long-term longevity. And he's a megastar and he deserves to have his rest.
Cocaine, sad boob, choke her with a sea view. Totally.
And some of the stuff is like medical, just like in
Harry definitely does blow. Like he has so many songs about cocaine. Oh,
maybe he does it like for fun recreationally, but I don't think he relies on
No, but he's definitely a party boy.
I don't know anything about him, but I don't
No, me neither.
Do 15 shows at Madison Square Garden, like I don't think
this is hard.
I don't think it's cocaine that's propelling him. But there's even stuff that like doctors would give him, just like in Elvis, and like they say it's medicine and it's not. It's not.
No, I was just like looking for a cocaine reference and then I realized there's so many. Like, you know that one? He literally does this in a song.
So yeah.
Yeah. Party boy. Gotta party with Harry. I think I can make myself available.
I actually just bought some merch from his website, so I'm supporting the tour.
For Harry's house? There's
one sweatshirt that says Harry's house, so I had to get it.
Oh my, that's adorable. He needs to start making. I bet like there's an Etsy store that there's sells a ton. People like Harry's always house.
Send me
baby clothes.
People always send me Instagram ads of like fake Harry's house merch. I wanted like the real thing so that it means something. Mm-hmm. I feel like anytime I bought fake merch, like I don't know what's in the water, but it shrinks. It has no color. Like it never lasts.
No, here's the thing.
But when I get the real deal, it's nice.
I will never buy fake merch after my Kanye West Confederate flag saga. Yep. Do you remember that? That was literally traumatizing. I literally got targeted for like this. Remember those Yeezus tour jackets that had like, they were like green bomber jackets. They were so sick. And like, I couldn't get one. So I got targeted for like this turnt company. It showed up. It had a Confederate flag patch on the arm. So like, I literally never wore it. And I left it in my closet. And when I was moving, I was showing everyone my new closet. And there was like a big fucking Confederate flag. And people were like, rightfully, like, what the fuck? And I was like, I don't know why it literally never occurred to me to like, rip off the patch or throw it. I never wore the jacket. Like, just throw it out, you cheap wench. I got dragged to filth on the internet. You know what? That one I did deserve. Like, what the fuck? And it was right on the heels of, like, of me being canceled. So people are like, well, maybe she is, like, this Confederate girl. Like,
queen.
And I was so mad at myself. I'm like, you dumb fucking wench. Like, what are you doing? Literally, when it started to blow up, I remember taking the jacket, picking it up, and walking it straight to my garbage chute and throwing it down the chute. I never even wore it. Like, all that for what? For fake fucking merch. That's the lesson. Don't buy fake merch.
My husband loves buying fake merch. He bought a Yeezus tour sweatshirt for himself before we ever met. And now that sweatshirt doesn't even fit me. It is so tiny. And I don't think he bought it that tiny.
From the washing?
From washing, yeah. He also, remember when Kanye came out with those shirts of Kim and Golden Barbie playing tennis? So he got himself a fake version of that.
Why doesn't he get the real one?
I don't know. Like, because he thinks
they're hard to find.
He's like gaming the system. I'm like, no, you're not. Yeah, you're being played. Yeah. You're literally flushing money down the toilet because after two washes, that picture was indecipherable. But like, I bought real Jesus is King merch, and that's a fucking quality sweatshirt.
Yeah, I will say, like, one of the I need to start keeping a list of my greatest regrets. Can you write this down for me?
Wait 1 second. Let me start a new list of Claudia's regrets.
And I want you to try and guess.
Okay, give me a clue of like what you're about to say.
No, I want you to guess any of my biggest regrets.
Oh, not getting in the car. The police car. Yeah,
not
car.
Getting in the cop car.
Is this jacket not getting in the
car? I feel like there was one more, but the one that I was just reminded of was not seeing the Life of Pablo concert, the Kanye tour. I had literally told Ben, I'm like, I want to get us tickets. He was like, oh, like, I think it was around our anniversary. He was like, let me get them. I'm like, okay, great. Next thing I know, it's like a Thursday night. I'm laying in bed and you're at the fucking concert. Everyone I know is at MSG. I'm like, what the fuck? This is what happens when I let Ben like take care of things. Never again.
This is what happens when I let my husband take care of things. We've never gone on a honeymoon.
Oh, right.
Except so, like, he did get us those concert tickets because he loves Kanye. And at the time, I actually like didn't care for Kanye whatsoever. Right. Now I actually really like him. But I was just being a supportive girlfriend. So like in my support, now I can say I saw that tour. And that's what you get
and
when you're supportive.
It's one of the greatest albums, I think, of all time. Like, it's so good. So I would also buy counterfeit merch.
Oh, and also another regret of yours is not going to see Red Taylor Swift. Red.
Yeah, but I don't really feel like that's fair because in order to regret something, you have to have had the option to do it. And, like, I was not a financially independent. I was literally 14.
Yeah.
So that should be one of our mom's biggest regrets.
No, but when you're a kid, like, you only get a handful of concerts that your parents are going to get to go to. So, like, you have to push for them and, like, really ask and show how important it is to you. And it wasn't that important to you. It wasn't that important to your younger self.
Like, I because guess,
because, you know, we saw Best of Both Worlds tour.
Because that was...
Just leave me alone, okay?
Because that...
Just shut up.
Because that was like a person the whole family was obsessed with. It was like an easy sell. Yeah. Same with Glee.
Yeah, well, yeah. She took us to see Glee.
Like, those... Like, that was like family things. Like, you know what I mean? We were all obsessed.
Okay, we were all obsessed with Taylor, but I guess not collectively. Like, we all... It was kind of an independent obsession.
Right. We just used to cry in our rooms.
Yeah, but we all shared rooms, so we were all, like, crying.
Right. Crying in our beds. Okay, are we ready? Was that the fifth and final?
That was the fifth and final.
So let's dive into the TV recap. We're going to talk about Kardashian's new episode
and
on Hulu.
A little Southern Charm recap. I'm all caught up.
Which is brought to you by Honey. Today's episode sponsored by Honey, the easy way to save when you're shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for a coupon code is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping at one of your favorite websites. When you're checking out, the Honey button will just appear. All you do is click apply coupons, wait a few seconds, and Honey will search for coupons for that website. Once it finds a working coupon, if it does, you'll watch the price drop. I've used it many times. Clothing, food, electronics, makeup, literally, I very, very rarely am shopping on a website that Honey does not work with. More often than not, they can find a fabulous promo code for me. And I used to have to search like Revolve promo code. Like it was so much, it was like an extra job. Like it was just not like worth it. But Honey does all the work for you. When you use our link, the browser extension is totally free to download. And now you can do it on your phone too if you're shopping online on Safari. Doesn't just work on desktop. Activate it on Safari on your phone. You can save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you're straight up missing out. By getting it, you're doing yourself a solid and you're supporting the show. We would never recommend something we don't use. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/toast. That's joinhoney.com/toast. Okay, Kardashians, they gave us like a front to back timeline of Khloe's pregnancy. They're not making us wait till the end of the season. So now I feel like episode two, we're actually going to go back. Like
because
the surrogate will be pregnant.
We ended this one July 28th.
Right, a month ago.
Literally.
So that was nice of them. I appreciated that they dedicated the whole episode to Khloe's journey. I got really choked up, like, multiple times, mostly when Kim was talking. Like, Kim, like, I felt sad for Khloe, obviously, but something about Kim, like, everything Kim said was so on point. Like, her speech at the really cute, I guess that was their version of a low-budget shower, was really, like, she was like, you're not even going to remember, like, all this. You're just going to remember life with your baby and, like, nothing before this even ever mattered. And I feel like that really kind of, like, spoke to Khloe. And she was like, this baby's going to show you what true love is supposed to be. And I just got, I'm literally going to cry right now. Like, I got so choked up. Because Kim is not really emotional. But I think, like, in a lot of ways, Kim was also speaking, like, on her own experience. I think Khloe's obviously like pissed at Tristan for betraying her, but I think she's also just like freaked out to be doing this alone.
Yeah.
And I think like the way, you know, Kim probably felt that way too. Not that Kim's going to be a single parent, but like when you get separated, like you have alone time, you're, like you're doing a lot of the stuff on your own. So I feel like Kim was just kind of speaking to her own self too. And I was like really getting emo.
I was so emo. It was one of the best episodes of any reality TV that I've ever seen. Like the way that it was so emotional. And like, I think everybody who watched it, like, was crying. Kim's speech also like made me so teary. And even at the end when like she's holding baby T, I was.
And she was like, it's first kiss. I was literally cracking
up. Oh my God. It was so beautiful and emotional. And what I didn't understand for a while is like Khloe and Tristan haven't been together for a while. And so I didn't understand why Khloe couldn't just be like, okay, Tristan's irrelevant, but I have what I want, which is like my two kids. True has a brother, and like that's what's most important to me. And I didn't.
Why can't you focus
on
that?
And I didn't I couldn't understand why she would be so like even bothered about what Tristan does at this point because he's like so disappointing all the time. But what I didn't realize was how attached she was to the idea of having a traditional family unit, even if her and Tristan aren't in a romantic relationship. Like in the last few years, Tristan has been like living with them and she could tolerate him. And like True, we're seeing like both of her parents all the time. And like now with this betrayal, like she can't even do that. And so it's...
No, it was important to her to like try.
Yeah. And so really like they're... what she was saying about like her kids, you know, she doesn't want them to have daddy issues. And like, she really wanted them to have that family unit, and it's the idea of that going away, not the romance, you know, aspect, because that really hasn't been in play for a while, but the idea that, like, she really is a single mom and that that's what her kids will see. I think that was kind of hard for her to wrap her head around, but I think what she'll realize is that she's going to be amazing.
No, and kids who are raised by single moms are a different breed of human being. I'm sorry. They are better. They are better. I'm sorry. We are better. We are. Like, single moms are the heroes of the world, and I think you, like, learn so much from your mom. When your mom's a single mom, you're just, like, in awe of, like, her strength and her I'm sorry. It's actually going to end up being a good thing. Not that Tristan's dead, but, like, he's fucking irrelevant.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like that's also why
my perspective this whole time was, like, okay, so you can do it. Like, you're Chloe. Right, you're amazing. Because we are
the benefactors of a single mom. So it's like, yeah, fucking rocks.
Yeah,
like,
no, that it's
not that bad. That,
like, a big deal. And that, you know, it doesn't. But anyways, I think she not only had, like, her dad that she looked up to, she also had Caitlin as a father figure for so many years. Like, she had two.
Yeah.
And now her kids, like, have true. This one.
Yeah. Well, so I also think there were two other things. I think part of the reason she, like, couldn't get out of the rut was because she herself wasn't pregnant. So, like, it definitely feels like a more of a disconnect. Like, if you're pregnant and you're going through something hard, you focus on, like, the belly and the kicks and, like, you feel the baby with you every step of the way. Not having that has to have made it a little bit more difficult to focus on the fact that, like, a baby's coming into the world.
But I think actually what was the hardest part is that no one could know. She didn't want anyone to know yet, because then if it got out, she had to deal with everybody's opinions. So it's like, even if she wanted to be excited, she can't talk about it in her own house. She can't have a shower. She can't get a room ready because she can't have anyone know.
By the way,
because she doesn't want the noise of it.
Yeah, it was top secret
because of what Tristan did. But and I think that the was the hardest
part. She said
part.
That she can't have furniture delivered to her house.
Yeah, or even the fact that, like, once she told True, then, like, True might let it slip to someone, and so her and True can't even just sit around and, like, talk about how excited they are. I think that that really was the biggest hindrance, because she was so worried about people finding out. And
thinking she was, like, dumb.
Yeah, whenever it came out, whenever it was going to be, she was going to have to deal with it. And so I think that secrecy was all, it's so, like, making her sick, because she knew that was waiting for her at the end. And I hope that when everything did come out, that she was okay. I don't know if
things. I think she was healed.
I don't know if things leaked, because, how did it come out when it did? Why did it?
I don't know.
The baby wasn't here yet. Did they decide? Mm-hmm. No,
but she got enough time.
Yeah, she had a lot of time, but I just, oh my gosh, it was so emotional.
No, and you know, one thing I didn't really think of that, like, really made me fucking hate Tristan, like, really kind of, it brought his betrayal to another level when, like, they were showing footage of, like, he was the one really pushing to, like, get the embryo transfer done. And because, like, as sooner or later, he was not going to be able to avoid Chloe finding out about Theo. And so, like, her thinking that, like, he's excited to have a baby and he's just pushing it so that she'll get pregnant before Theo is, like, out in the world. It's literally so disgusting. Now, another factor that I didn't expect, like, a scene that, like, started my tears, Kim really brought them to fruition, but I got, like, teary, was Cece.
Yeah.
It was just such a fresh, totally honest reaction to good news. You know, obviously she knows about Tristan and everything, but, like, just someone who isn't, like, that involved finding out and just being happy for Chloe. I was like, yeah, like, that's what it's supposed to be like. Like, I thought Cece's reaction was fabulous.
And I think it helped Chloe turn a corner. And in the beginning of the episode, I was like, Chloe doesn't want a baby shower. Like, don't do it. Like, but I think that
yeah, and I was like, why is Chris pushing
this? It was exactly
this?
What she needed, like, to experience some of the joys, because it's so joyful. Obviously, the storm cloud completely eclipsed that. But overall, it's, like, the most beautiful thing. And Chloe was having a hard time seeing it through the storm.
Where was Courtney? She was, and Kendall.
I don't know, but Kylie was picking up the slack. I love my postpartum queen so fucking much.
It's time.
I need more Kylie. It's time. She's just the best.
Yeah, no, this episode being Chloe, Kim, Chris, Kylie, like, I'm
it's
good
enough
with
enough for me, Dianu. A little sprinkle Dianu. Of CC. Didn't even notice Scott wasn't in it.
Yeah.
It was one of, honestly, the episode deserves an Emmy. Like, it was.
It was beautiful.
Unreal. And I'm happy for
And the fact that, like, Kim was the one in the room with her, like, made me so emo.
Yeah. And I'm happy for Chloe. I think the reception to this episode is going to be really good. Like, hopefully she can, if she, you know, continue to turn a new leaf and realize that, like, we love you, Chloe. We love you so much. And, like, the people who, like, make those memes and say the old, I'm boring shit, like, don't know what real life is like. And
yeah,
you are so loved by not just your family, but really by everyone.
I was really shocked to hear that, like, you know, people and, like, their chatter on the internet, like, factors in, you know, is something that she thinks about. And honestly, it made me feel really good, because that's like, oh, we are all human.
Yeah.
Even, like, the most famous rich, like, it gets to everyone at some point. You go through highs and you go through lows.
Yeah.
It was such a good episode, because at the end of the day, the takeaway was, no matter what happens in life, like, family is everything and family is here for you. And, like, I was literally getting so choked up.
And at the
up,
end, like, of the day, Tristan did, even though he's literally the worst, he did her a favor by having them get pregnant before Chloe could not do.
Because she wouldn't have done it.
And I think this baby is such a blessing. And True has a brother, Snowy. People think that was a clue for Kylie's baby's name, because she was like, it's Snowy, because Stormy's little brother's name would be Snowy.
Totally.
But I think they probably call baby boy Webster Snowy as, like, a nickname because of, like, Stormy and Snowy, especially when he didn't have a name. That's my theory.
Oh, I didn't even think of Stormy and Snowy. Okay, wait. The child's name is definitely Snowy or Snow.
I love the name Snow.
I know you do.
So, Kylie, you have my seal of approval.
By the way, I love that.
Love.
Love, love. That's totally it. Okay, now tell me about Southern Charm. I'm over it. Like, honestly.
Southern Charm is so fucking good. Last night's episode was not, because everyone was too drunk to function, and the fights were like fake and manufactured. A few interesting things happened, but actually they went to St. Simon on a trip, and Leva actually didn't go because she was like, I'm so tired of at dinner, the boys will all be fighting because this is a show about boys fighting. And then the next day, they're all golfing and they're fine. And, like, we're all left to, like, pick up the pieces. It's like, our dinner was just ruined. We all think we're in disarray, but the boys are fine. And, like, we're just here having had a terrible night.
That's actually such a good point.
So she didn't go. And that's literally what happened. The first night, everyone's drunk. Austin and Shep are screaming at each other so crazy because Shep is, like, so controlling with Taylor. Like, really just not a great boyfriend. And then the next day, Shep and Whitney and Naomi are golfing, then everyone else goes shrimping. What was so interesting, though, is, like, so Vanita came onto the show, and she's really, like, a girl's girl. She's friends with the girls. She's has longstanding friendships with Madison, Naomi, and Leva. And I think the way that Vanita saw the boys is, like, oh, these, like, immature boys who are always causing drama, whatever. And she never really saw, like, the reason why so many people love them and, like, how they're really so charming. Anyway, so that day they all – Shep, Naomi, and Whitney went and played golf, and Vanita, Olivia, Taylor, Craig, and Austin went shrimping. And I think it was the first time Vanita saw that, like, Austin and Craig, and they're so affable, and there's a reason why, like, you know, everyone's, like, falling over themselves.
Loves
and
them.
They're really, I think, so charming as people. Even, like, they come into...
They put the charm in Southern
Charm. They
really
do. And even when they come to the studio, we're just like, oh my God, Austin and Craig.
We're, like, shook. Like, they're so tall and so cute. And, like, honestly, like, they've got pizzazz.
And I think she even said in her interview, she was like, I never saw this side of Craig before, because she's only been friends with Naomi, so she knows him as Naomi's ex.
That part.
Anyways, that night at dinner, they're at the table, Naomi and Craig are arguing, and Vanita says something like, Naomi, just, like, listen to how he feels. And Naomi and Vanita are friends of 10 years, and now all of a sudden Vanita's taking Craig's side because Vanita is swept away by Craig's charm. And she wasn't, like, taking his side, but, like, she was just being like, listen to how he feels, which is like something that a moderator says. And Naomi was like, Vanita, shut up. And then Vanita's like, don't talk to me like that. Like, don't disrespect me. And now
I'm with Naomi on that. Like, seriously, like, you're my friend.
Of course.
And, like, I'm fighting with my ex, and you're going to literally be, like, not like other girls. Pick me
after
energy.
After one day,
like,
of shrimping.
Yeah, relax,
right,
Vanita.
So it was, honestly, I don't know how they're going to, it doesn't look like next week they come back from it either. I don't know what's going to happen. It was just, like, this one moment, and it's just the charm of Craig and Austin.
No, and I think, like, people, when they go online and discuss Southern Charm, they're like, I can't believe, like, everyone's, like, simping over Austin. Like, they love to, like, rag on the boys. And I get it, but like if you meet them, first of all, they're all so handsome. Like I was really shook. Like Austin is like extremely good looking. And he's so tall and so funny and very out there. And like there's a reason why people are drawn to them.
I think even Shep too, like those Shep.
Yeah.
Like, they just have this way about them. So it's funny to see it like happen on the show and it caused like drama within the girls, whereas the girls are always the non-dramatic party. Next week is the season finale. Right. Craig is having a party at Sewing Down South. Paige will be there, even though she like does not like filming the show, which is sad for the rest of us.
She went to the reunion though. Did you see the last night? I think it was the reunion. She wore this orange.
Oh, I saw that they were filming something and I saw that her and Craig were.
I think that was it. They were holding. Let me double check. They were holding.
I looked really close at the slate thing and I think it was something for BravoCon because it said something about like a vacation. Zoom in. I don't think it was a reunion.
It says Shooter McGee, Ticket to Paradise.
I think it's a BravoCon. Yeah, you're right.
It's like a commercial. No, it looks like one of those sponsored commercials for a movie called Ticket to Paradise. I'm obsessed.
This season has been a lot of Craig and Naomi beefing. It's just so weird because Craig and just Craig and Naomi should never really see each other again. It's not like they were really good friends before. Maybe they were friends before they started dating, but we never knew them as friends. Their relationship, like they were living together. They were so serious. Like it was serious. So emotional. It took years for Craig to get over it. Like he shouldn't be having dinner with Naomi and everything that she says triggers him because he thinks it's like an attack.
It sucks.
It just brings him back. Like she said to the whole table, like you guys need to be like kinder to the wait staff. And like when they come over, you need to like stop what you're doing and pay attention. Like it's rude.
Wow. Good for her.
Craig was like, you worked in food and bed for how many years? Because he felt like she was saying
not
to him,
food
like,
because he... Yeah. No, but you're right. A person like Naomi to Craig or a person like Craig to Naomi, those are the type of people once you break up after like being in love, like your first love, you never see them again.
There's no friendship after that. So I don't think anyone is still hung up on the other person. I think they're just so fucking triggered by each other. And it makes it seem like neither of them are over the other, but I really think that they are. I also have to say I
100%.
Fully ship Naomi and Whitney. I thought that they're like one night, that they just like kissed one night in the season, but like they're like being a little coupley here and there, and I think they're so cute together, and I hope they get married. I hope they get married, and
I'm
crying. Hope that Patricia is Naomi's mother-in-law, and
she's gonna officiate
it. They like move into the house one day. I think that because Naomi's so sophisticated, and Whitney is like very, you know.
Yeah, she's like a
French girl,
right?
So like they go to restaurants, they order in French. He's such a snob, but she's up to the task, and I think that they're actually really cute couple.
No, I actually see that. Okay, well, I'm so glad I'm not watching, but I'm literally feel like I am.
Yeah, no,
you know?
It's so good. I love the crew. Also, Olivia and Austin are like being coupley and cute now. I think they're still together. I hope that they are.
Oh, okay. I don't love that for
Why?
Her. Because, like, I love Austin, but, like...
My only concern about Austin is every season of every show that he's on, he always is wifed up. And you think, like, remember Chelsea? He was, like, so head over heels.
Right. Like, is nobody special?
Right. And then it was Madison, and now it's Olivia. And he's, like, all in, but it's, like...
Sierra.
Like, he goes to Winter House for 2 weeks. He has a girlfriend, Sierra. Why don't these relationships work for him?
Yeah. No, it's definitely a red flag.
But... Maybe this is the one.
For now, it's fine.
And maybe now with like Craig. Okay. Craig keeps talking about how he's going to marry Paige. And if he doesn't marry her, like that he will be heartbroken. Like that's how their story will
end.
Oh my
God, I'm obsessed.
100%. So maybe for some guys, it's just about timing.
I like really need to work on becoming better friends with Paige. Like I need to be at the wedding. I'll cry. I need to officiate it. I need to sing them down the aisle. Like I want to be involved in their love story.
Get involved.
Actually, I did speak to Taylor Strecker last night. I'm going to try and set up a dinner.
Love it.
Yeah. Because, like, you don't understand, like, the obsession. Like, it's actually weird.
You know what? Everybody has them, you know?
Totally. Who's yours?
Oh, I have so many, but, like, it's crazy how sometimes they, like, cycle in and out of my life. But some of my longstanding ones, like Olivia Culpo. Love and adore. Also, we never talked about that her and her sisters are getting a reality show on Discovery Plus called The Culpos. It's like done and premiering soon.
Cool.
No, I'm really excited.
Like, I love her. Would lay my life out on the line for her. I just feel like they should have done it. Not that it's on them, but like the industry should have done it 3 years ago.
I think that's when they started doing it, plus COVID. But I think her and her sisters have a really great dynamic, sisterly love.
I mean, they're so stunning. They're
so stunning.
It ain't right how stunning they are. No, I mean, I'll definitely watch. Like, I think that, like, I would actually find it, like, really interesting. And I think I would find that, like, we have a lot in common
with
them. Yeah,
so at Discovery Plus, I think I already subscribed because that's where you get...
I don't.
They have some good subsidiaries. I think, like, Lifetime is part of Discovery.
Yeah, so it was, like, Food Network, yeah. HGTV, mm-hmm. Magnolia Network.
Oh, I've watched all the episodes of Magnolia Network.
Yeah, I gotta
do Magnolia,
that.
Of Magnolia, Bruno's Lady Love.
So that is our show. I just want to remind everyone that Monday and Tuesday of next week is Rosh Hashanah. So Jackie and I will not be doing episodes, but we'll be back on Wednesday. So try and make it without us at the beginning of next week. Just know that we are, you know, being God's girlies, and that's very time consuming.
And we're ushering in the new year, the Jewish New Year.
So to everyone who celebrates, happy Rosh Hashanah.
Shana Tova Umetuka.
Shana Tova Umetuka. Hope you enjoy the holiday with your family or your friends and your food. To our non-Jewish, non-celebrating toasters, enjoy a day at work. You should really convert. We get so many days off. Love ya. Thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast, and where podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Castbox, all of the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, the Morning Toast, the five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are.
Bye. Bye.